Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she would conceive and bear a son who would be holy, the Son of God, she said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. What a wonderful, humble, faith-filled response. Mary doesn't protest or make excuses for why she can't do as God has said, as Moses did at the burning bush, when God commissioned him. She doesn't ask for proof, as Zechariah did in response to the word that he and his wife Elizabeth would be blessed with a son. No, she responds in humility and faith. "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." In addition to announcing that she would be the mother of God, Gabriel also told Mary that her aged relative Elizabeth, who had never been able to have children, had also conceived and now was 6 months along in her pregnancy. Rather quickly after the angel left, Mary also departed from Nazareth. She went south to the hill country of Judah, where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived. Luke doesn't tell us why she made this trip. It may be that Mary wanted to offer assistance to Elizabeth during the final months of her pregnancy. It may be that she wanted to share the news that she had just received with someone else, also in the midst of a miraculous pregnancy. Perhaps it was a combination of those reasons, and maybe even others, that caused her to set out quickly on a journey. Whatever the case, the Lord made this trip a blessing for Mary and for Elizabeth, and also for you and for me. As soon as Mary walked into the house and greeted Elizabeth, John leaped in his mother's womb, already before he was born, preparing the way for Jesus. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She spoke a blessing on Mary and on Jesus in her womb. At this point, it was probably less than 12 days since Mary had conceived. Jesus would have been at the very earliest stages of human development, not yet even what we describe as an embryo. Elizabeth said to her, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." For Mary, these inspired words confirmed the message the angel had spoken. She was indeed pregnant, and her child would be the Lord. A number of times in his gospel, Luke tells us that Mary treasured up all the things that she had seen and heard, pondering them in her heart. The song Mary sings after hearing Elizabeth seems to reflect also a number of days of pondering the announcement Gabriel had brought her from the Lord. In this song, known as the Magnificat, Mary breaks out in praise to the Lord. Her song here seems to be an outpouring of her gratitude and marvel that God was now fulfilling his promises, and that he was doing so through her. Mary begins by magnifying or making great the Lord, rejoicing, she says, in God my Savior. Already in these words, it's clear that her focus in this song is God, particularly his activity of delivering and saving. Though she speaks of her soul and her spirit, her focus is on God and his work for the salvation of the world. The reason that she is lifting up the name of the Lord and rejoicing is that he has looked on or regarded the humble estate of his servant, his handmaid. These words, looking on and regarding, are very much connected with the Lord's saving work. Samuel's mother, Hannah, prayed that the Lord would look on the affliction of his servant and remember her and grant her a son. Later, the Lord instructed Samuel to to anoint Saul as king to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines, for, he said, I have regarded my people. The psalmist praises the Lord as one who regards the prayer of the destitute and looks down at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die. Mary sings, Behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. But there isn't any pride in this statement. She doesn't mean to focus on herself at all. Her blessedness, she says, consists in this: the Mighty One having done great things for her. By his doing, she would be the mother of God. It's not therefore about her, but rather it's about him and his great and mighty works of deliverance. And Mary is very clear. The Lord has done great things not just for her. He has had mercy on all who fear him, from generation to generation. The Savior he sent, who even as she sang was growing and developing in her womb, the Savior he had sent would accomplish salvation for every sinner from Adam and Eve to the last baby conceived before the Lord returns in glory. For the people who trusted in the Lord in the first century, Mary's words would have brought to mind God's work in the Exodus, when he heard the groaning of Israel and saw their affliction and humbled Egypt, the superpower of that age, by mighty deeds in plagues and at the Red Sea, destroying Pharaoh and his army, and leading his people out of slavery to the promised land. Mary portrays the great reversal the Lord has worked, scattering the proud, bringing down the mighty, but exalting the humble, filling the hungry with good things, but sending the rich empty away. This great reversal is a pattern the Lord would repeat. His new mighty work, though, began in her virgin womb and would be born in a humble stable. Jesus would not lead armies to challenge kings and emperors and pharaohs, but would vanquish sin, death, and Satan by his word and with his arms stretched out on a cross. In his life, and especially in his death, he would bear our griefs and carry our sorrows, be wounded for our transgressions, and crushed for our iniquities. On the cross, he would endure the punishment that would bring peace to you and to me. It is with his stripes that we are healed. Concerning the great reversal, note that it's not that Jesus would exclude the proud and mighty from his mercy and grace. No, they would refuse to come to him unless they were first humbled and brought down. Only then would they rejoice in his promise, Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Only when they knew their need would his rich blessings of forgiveness and eternal life become a treasure which they sought. Then, no longer proud and mighty, but now meek and humble, they would rejoice to hear the Lord's promises. They would rejoice to know that he is the Lord. The final words of Mary's song are significant. She says, The Lord has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to to Abraham and to his offspring forever. All of the Lord's actions, all of the Lord's mighty deeds of deliverance go back to his promises. To Abraham, he had said, "In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." Born of Mary, Jesus would be the blessing for all people. Even before Abraham, though, God had promised our first parents that even as Satan crushed the heel of the seed of the woman, her seed, that is her descendant, Jesus, born of Mary, would live up to his name. He would save his people from their sin, would once and for all crush the head of Satan, and destroy forever his hold over sinners. It's no wonder that still today God's people join Mary in her song of praise and thanksgiving. For he has done great things for you and for me, has helped us in remembrance of his mercy, has accomplished salvation for us through the forgiveness of sin, so that with Mary, you and I can also rightly be called blessed forever. And so in Christ we are. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.